Please turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4. This will be our meditation as we come before the Lord. And this, I think this is definitely the last evening service of this year. And we are reminded once again how time passed by. Was it not a while ago that the year began? And now another year has just whizzed by so quickly, and in just less than or slightly more than 24 hours, we will be into the new year if the Lord so lead us. Brethren, we are, and we ought to face a very sobering fact that we are running out of time. Yes, the new year, 365 days may be ahead of us, but will we be able to go through 2008 from start to finish? We do not know. In fact, the entire world is running out of time. They may not be conscious of it. They may be so busy and occupied with their pursuits. But those of us who are God's redeemed people, as the hour draws to a close soon, let us be sober and let us ponder and let us prepare ourselves before this year end. May we be alert and be spiritually awakened to the sign of the times. The signs of the times are already in our midst, appearing in this world. And those of us who are believers, we have that spiritual eyesight to know, to see with spiritual eyesight the things that are coming. What are the signs of the times, you may ask? Well, I suggest a few which are foretold in the Bible. In Matthew 24, Jesus has forewarned us that the beginning of sorrow will come with wars, rumors of wars. And then, of course, the unsettling fact is that there are no longer all these wars and rumors of wars. They are no longer confined to countries where there are conflicts. Much of this violence and the war are also exported right to our doorstep, isn't it? Right to our doorstep of peaceful countries like UK and Singapore in the form of terrorist attacks. There is also an increase of the frequency of natural disasters that we know of. I think it's this year, if I'm not wrong, just behind us, Cancer Rise, they experienced a very freak hurricane or typhoon. And we are spared here. And of course, you heard of others in other countries, all these natural calamities and disasters. Our Lord also spoke about pestilences. The first to come to my mind is the avian flu. And then others, before this avian flu end, we have what? We have the blue tongue cow disease and mad cow disease and all the likes. We are also witnessing a general decline in moral values, both globally and locally. And of course, with the increase of sexually explicit entertainment, which you can view over television, the internet. And of course, there are the specific times of the end, such as the preaching of God's word. We right now witness indeed a so-called global mission. And this, you don't hear of this in the first century. But now it's a clear reality. The preaching of God's word, the widespread of Christianity through mission. And there are other signs that Christ mentioned. The abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place. And so right now the stage is prepared. Prepared also with further development in and around the land of Israel. Brethren, our Lord Jesus said, in Matthew 24:33, that when we see all these things, we should know that His coming is near. Even at the doors, the end of all things is at hand. And all this should awaken us, awaken our hearts to know that Christ is coming very soon. Yes, we may look forward to the new year, and there's nothing wrong with that. We should. And this morning we have already considered that there shouldn't be any fear for us, especially those of us who are the Lord's people, that we can confidently step into the new year, if the Lord so will, and He promised to be with us. But here we are not, this evening we are not considering or tracing the signs of the end times, but rather to consider how we ought to live our life now, in view of the fact that the end of all things is at hand. What kind of lifestyle should we live as believers? What sort of lifestyle we should pursue in the new year as God's redeemed people? Should we not seek more to know more of the will of God for our lives in the coming year? And then secondly, we want to consider also the danger of being not prepared. This is certainly a very important matter for us to consider. For those of us who have been long in this church, who have been Christian for a long time, many people are so busy right now this day, busy pursuing a lifestyle with no regard to the fact that the end of all things is at hand. Our Lord Himself foretold that in the last day, people, and sad to say, not only people outside the church, there are people inside the church too. They are as the people in the world. What do? They are busy. Busy eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Matthew 24:38. Many are quite caught up in making more money for themselves or in making a name for themselves in the world. Preparing for the end of all things is the furthest thought in their mind. And when that reality sets in, it may be too late. And then they find themselves utterly unprepared and shocked when the day comes. And so there will be many who will live to regret that they have not heeded the warnings of God from God's word and the sign of the end times. But you and I, we who are children of light, we ought not to follow the ways of the world. We who are enlightened, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we should not follow the multitude. And so therefore we got to ask ourselves, are we ready for Christ's return? Yes, we are preparing ourselves for the new year. But Christ is also coming soon. And so what we ought to do in the year ahead, as the Lord so leads us, let us not think that, well, I'm okay, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm attending the church, my salvation is secure. Doesn't matter. I'm alright. I'm prepared. Well, that is not the life that the Lord called us to. And so we have to look into how the need for an appropriate lifestyle as believers according to the teaching of Scripture. Did our Lord Himself not command His disciples to be watchful? And the wise servants to be watchful and to be wise servants who will be found faithful, faithfully doing their master's will when He returns. He expects us to exercise good stewardship of our time and of the talents that He has bestowed upon us. We should be making the most profitable and efficient use of our talents and of our gifts for the Lord, of whatever resources that we have or that we are given. Are we doing that? Is New Life and the members of New Life BP Church doing that? Are we exercising our gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the glory of God? In Matthew 25, Jesus told His disciples the parable of the 10 virgins. Five of them are wise and five were foolish. The wise virgin were ready to receive the bridegroom when he arrived at midnight, but the other five were not. And the last minute preparation were to no avail, and so they missed the opportunity to partake of the marriage feast. What a terrible price if you and I, what a terrible price we have to pay if you and I are not ready, are not prepared for the Lord's coming. Yes, in our living each day, in our looking forward to the year 2008, let us also at the same time prepare our hearts and our minds and to receive the Lord Jesus when he comes, so that we will not be caught off guard, unprepared. Let us remember that all the things of this world is all for our temporal use only. We are stewards. We are not owners of all that we have. The job, our employment, all the material things that we find in our house, all these are given to us from the Lord for his glory, for his use, for the blessing of others. It's not just for ourselves only. Let us invest our lives in things that will last for eternity. Our life as Christians should reflect a decreasing attachment to the things of this world and an increasing attachment to the things of the Lord. That should be the way we live our life as God's redeemed people. A decreasing attachment to the things of this world, yes, it may be necessary, but do not set our hearts on it, but an increasing attachment to the things that will last for eternity, that will bring glory to our God. As we consider this passage here in 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 11, there are at least three things we ought to do before we step into the new year. And the first is with regard to our mind and our soul. The second is regarding our relationship, one with another in the body of Christ, with fellow Christians, that is. And third is with regard to our stewardship of God's gift to us. Let us look at the first one. With regard to our mind and our soul. Verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." You will notice that there are two injunctions in this verse. One, to be sober. Secondly, to watch unto prayer. Let's look at the first one. Be sober. To be sober is to have a sound and clear mind. A sober mind is not clouded by false perceptions of life. In contrast to that, when a person gets himself intoxicated with alcohol or high on drugs, he is not sober, or she is not sober. The perception that he has of things around him is different, and he lives in his own world, out of touch with reality. It is all too easy for us to get out of touch with reality these days. Why? Because of the tremendous influence of the mass media and all this entertainment and over the television and the internet, and with the advent of high-tech equipment like high-definition television and all these electronic gadgets, people are spending more time on these things in the name of so-called relaxation. After a day of work, what is so wrong? What is so sinful? To watch a movie, to relax. But the mass media and some of the entertainment program, yes, it may provide us with some useful knowledge and information, but let us not forget, there are also adverse effects that it can have on our mind, especially to put us out of touch with reality. The advertisements are designed to do what? To convince you to buy those things that you think that you do not need, or the things that you need, but actually you do not need them, some of which we really do not need at all. Many shows that are aired on TV and through the internet and whatever means right now that you can watch all this are the creation of man's own imaginations. They are skillfully designed and portray a life presented by all these skillful actors with high-tech special effects. To do what? So that you can be deeply engrossed with it, with the storyline, so much so that you are totally lost to reality. That is what he wants to achieve in you. Let us be careful Yes, there are pure, clean entertainment that we can enjoy, but watch out. Note that Satan can use what is good and turn it around, and it become a snare for us. And that will have an effect or influence on our mind that draws us away from reality. So much so that we will not be able to remain sober. We are living in such a day that we are intoxicated with too much entertainment, pleasures, and all these pursuits. Therefore, we really have to struggle very hard. Struggle very hard as God's people against the tie that keep our minds sober or sober-minded. It is so important for us to maintain a sober mind, a mind that see the true worth of all the things clearly so that we can live in reality. Only then, with all the things that we do, only then can we direct or rather have a true and useful purpose in life. But then of course comes the question, how do we maintain that? We are each day bombarded through newspapers and all this and the internet, as I said, how do we maintain a sober mind? It is impossible for us to win in this ongoing battle of the mind because of the overwhelming influences of the mass media, of the world. But with God's help, we can. And that may be the reason why the injunction to be sober in verse 7 here is immediately followed up with another injunction. Watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. What does this mean? To watch unto prayer is to be spiritually awake and alert. As we live closer to the time of Christ's return, we must not be in a state of spiritual daze and spiritual slumber. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he came to his disciples and he found them what? Expecting them to keep awake and praying for him. Instead, they all fell asleep. And so he chided them with these words. What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:40-41. Brethren, when Christ returns, will he find us in such a state of spiritual slumber? Where will we be? What will we be doing when Christ returns? How shameful, isn't it? It will be to find us spiritually asleep. How long, brethren, we got to ask ourselves, how long has it been since you really have that quality, quiet time with the Lord? How long has it been since you last experienced God's presence in your life in a very wonderful and real way? Have you considered that? How long has it been since your Bible study was a great delight to you and were discovering and you were enjoying this Bible study and as you discover the deep truths of God that thrills your soul? How long has it been since you were moved to tears by the thought of God's amazing grace upon you, undeserving sinner? If the answer to all this is that you cannot remember, you cannot even remember when was those days, it is certainly a high time for you and me to wake up from our spiritual slumber to watch unto prayer. As we prepare ourselves for the year ahead, it is not the time to be spiritually asleep, but it is a time to be spiritually revived. It is the time for us to lay aside, as I said this morning, to lay aside any weights or anything in our lives that will hinder our spiritual growth and to run the race that is set before us. This is the time for us to draw closer to God and to seek His face. Do not say that you have time, therefore you can wait a little longer. You never can tell. You never can tell. Especially those of us who are younger, well, do not think that sicknesses and diseases will only come to those who are older. Today, now at this moment, I may be talking to you, well, next moment, I may not be. And so, for you, let us not be overconfident. Let us just seek and be patient to wait upon the Lord. Do not say that you have a lot of time. It is true that the Lord is long-suffering towards us, but that does not give us an excuse to try His patience further and expect Him to wait a little longer. According to Romans 2:4, the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering of God must lead us to swift repentance. So let us begin today to change our lifestyle as believers. Ask the Lord right now how we ought to live our life that is characterized by sober-mindedness and fully alert and live a spiritually revived life for Him. And that is not all that we should do. Look further. We now look at the next part, the second part of this text, with regard to our relationship with fellow Christians. This is stated in verses 8 and 9. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. The point I want to stress here is that we, you and I, members of this church, should actively cultivate good and strong relationship among Christians within the body of Christ. We should not live our lives as individuals, so to speak, not to forget that we are all in the body of Christ. And when one suffer, we all suffer together. And when one rejoice, we should rejoice together. So therefore, please understand that we are not individual Christian per se. Yes, we have our own race to run, our journey to travel, but yet as a body, we travel together. We run together. The term there, charity, in verse 8, means love, a brotherly love, unconditional love. Such love is not merely an emotion or a feeling that comes and goes. It is a choice. It is a choice that we make, which leads us to action. For example, the use of hospitality that is mentioned in verse 9 is one way for us to show love one to another. Why is such love for one another so important, so needed for us in the end times? Why? One possible reason is that there is added strength in unity, isn't it? As the pressures of the last days comes upon us, comes upon the believers, the pressures of the world to conform to the world, and its values is getting stronger and stronger, and we find very difficult to resist. Yes, we can pray on our own to ask God for help, and the Holy Spirit is promised to us to help us. But certainly there will be added strength if we come together. And that is why it is important that you come for prayer meeting. And this morning, actually, I was very tempted to stand up and rather to put it in another way, when our brother Jonathan, during the announcement, if you can, come for prayer meeting. I think we should correct that. Not if you can. You make an effort to come. You make that sacrifice to come. Because it is so important for us to pray one for another. Yes, you may say, I pray 10 hours on my own in my private closet. That is good. That is wonderful. But it is better. It is better that we come together as a body of Christ and crying out to God together for one another, to plead for the Lord to pour forth His blessing upon us, to send us a revival, to awaken us from our spiritual slumber. That is better. It is good. No doubt about it that you pray on your own. But it is better. Better that we come together, united in the body of Christ, and to pray. And then we will together shake heaven window, that it will open up for us to pour forth, the Lord will pour forth blessing upon us. To live the Christian life in this last day without any meaningful fellowship with like-minded believers will be extremely difficult. When you try to live your life as a Christian alone, you will face tremendous odds. The pressure of work, the pressure of family, the influence of your peers, influence of the world in which we live in will come upon us inevitably. And without the support of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to refresh our spirit, to refresh our mind, right, it would be we will find ourselves very lonely. And then the resistance that we have will slowly be eroded. Someone can stop that. Therefore, we need each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to come together to do what? To provoke one another unto good works. You see, that's how we are exhorted, what we are told to do. And then when we come together to encourage one another, to help one another, to pray for one another, then we will be able to resist the temptation, the ungodly trends that we are bombarded with. And then we can together resist the devil. There is one verse that shows us how valuable the bond of Christian fellowship is in the resisting of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It is interesting to note in this verse, 1 Peter 5:8, that the verbs there, be sober, be vigilant, and the pronoun your, are all in the plural, implying that we must be sober. We must be sober. Not just you must be sober, I must be sober, but we must be sober. Right? Looking out, be vigilant. We must be sober and vigilant together, looking out and watching out for one another. But the word whom is singular here. It implies that the devil devours individual believers when they are alone. So I'm very glad that our sister Nancy made that effort to come down and join with us. She realized that. And if you are one of those like me who love to watch wildlife documentaries, you will notice something. The predators will always go for the gazelle or the wildebeest when that particular one not running away together with the rest, but run out course. These cheetahs and all these tigers and lions, they are so sharp, you know. They are able to see and they know which one went out of the whole herd. And they will go for that. They will go for that. And so it is here. Without the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will not be able to go on. In the same way, Satan knows us. He knows the Christian will become weak when they are separated from one another. And he may try to sow discord among us, especially when he sees strifes within the church. It may be over something very, very trivial. Someone put it this way. A storm in a teacup. Is that right? Yes. It is something so trivial. But yet, Satan, do not underestimate him. He is not a pushover. Brethren, yes, we are not trying to glorify Satan, but he is no pushover. One simple misunderstanding, a very simple disagreement among brethren may be used by him to sow discord amongst us and to rip the church apart. Whenever there is disagreement among us, he will take advantage to break the good fellowship that we enjoy one with another. And therefore, we ought to watch. We must not be ignorant of his devices. We must counteract them by learning what? To forgive one another just as the Lord Jesus forgave us. That should be our spirit. I mentioned this matter before, this morning. Is it so difficult to forgive and to forget? When the Lord Jesus has set us an example, He forgave us day after day, despite of our continuing sinning against Him. How many times, when Peter asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother? How many times? 7 times? 49 times? You forgive and forgive and forgive. Because the Lord Jesus forgave you, forgave me. And therefore by His help, we too can forgive. Yes, it may take a little while But if we are willing to surrender and submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God, if we submit to Him, He will promise us grace and strength to forgive. And then look at verse 8 of our text, mentioned that charity should cover the multitude of sin. Through Christian love, we can forbear of and forgive each other's fault and forgive each other's sin, and so protect our good relationship from deteriorating. That should be the way. There will always be occasion, brothers and sisters, occasions in the body of Christ when fellow Christians may find hard to get along with each other because of certain personality traits. But with the love of God and through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, as I said, we can overcome this conflict if we humble ourselves under the hand of God, if we humble ourselves before God and ask Him for help. It is important that we do that, because life in the end times, in the last days, calls for preservation of our relationship one with another in the Lord. Remember that we all need the strengthening effect of Christian fellowship to survive the trends of the last days. So look beyond yourself. Don't look like what this, especially I suppose in the Western countries, the community, especially for us who are believers, look beyond yourself for the sake of the church, for the good of a greater cause, so to speak, and especially for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Forgive, forget, put aside, humble yourself, bear with one another. Now, besides living a lifestyle characterized by sober-mindedness, by a fully revived spiritual life and a good fellowship with our like-minded Christian, what other things that should characterize our life? One more, and that is with regard to our stewardship of God's gift in verses 10 to 11. This is stated there, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In a world where people are striving to get as much as they can for themselves, you know, always the me and I first, we who are Christians, we who are God's redeemed people, brought by the precious blood of Christ, we should be striving to give as much as we can to others, not to dig as much as we can from others. Let us be givers rather than getters. We can give to others. Why? Why is it that we are able to give to others? Because in the first place, you and I, who are God's children, we have been blessed. We have received blessing and gifts from God. These gifts come in many forms: abilities, talents, privileges, wealth, health. And that is why all these are called what? The manifold grace of God. All these gifts in so many forms are called the manifold grace of God. The main idea of verses 10 to 11 is this, is that the share is of sharing whatever God has blessed us with. For what purpose? Listen to this. For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting there meaning to equip the saints for the work of this ministry. For the edifying what? Of your own body? No. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For what purpose? To what end? Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, 12 to 13. You see that? So it is God gave us and bestowed upon us and endowed us with all these gifts. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the benefit of our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the building up of the church of God. Brethren, each of us has been blessed so differently by God. Some with the ability to speak well, others with the ability to serve, others offer their gift of hospitality, yet others with they have more, they are blessed with material blessings so that they can share with others. Let us, members, worshippers of New Life PP Church, London, let us use all this gift for God's glory to serve one another in the church. There is so much need, there is so much that needs to be done and so little time left. Do we realize that? That is why Paul in Ephesians says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Why redeem the time? Because the Lord is coming soon. In all these things, our aim is to cultivate a lifestyle of good stewardship of whatever God has blessed us with and given us for His glory. To summarize what we have just learned from this text or this passage tonight, the characteristics of the lifestyle you and I, as believers, we should cultivate in these last days. The three distinct areas. Firstly, concerning ourselves, firstly, we should cultivate sober-mindedness and spiritual alertness. Secondly, in our relationship one with another in the body of Christ, with fellow believers, fellow Christians, we must cultivate good fellowship, strong, bonding, lasting fellowship. And thirdly, for our stewardship of God's gift, the diligent use of all these gifts for what? To bless others and to bring glory to our God and our Savior. So may the Lord speak to us as we prepare ourselves for the new year, which is coming soon. And so let us meditate upon these things and respond to our Lord Jesus as we prepare ourselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, that as we come for this last evening worship service of the year, we thank Thee that You have given us Your Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father in heaven, we confess that we as believers, we have heard so much of Your teaching, so much of Your instruction we have received, yet oftentimes, O Lord, we have fallen short of Your glory, because we are not doers of Your words and hearers only. And even for us who are preachers and teachers of Your word, oftentimes we teach others, we preach to others, yet we did not preach to ourselves. Forgive us, we pray, for our shortcomings. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us that we have not taken heed of Thy word. O Father, we pray that this evening, as we have heard Your word, may Your Spirit enable us and move us to put into action what we have heard and received. May Your Spirit, as You promise, grant us strength and grace that we may live out Your word in our lives, that others around us may see the likeness of Christ in us and glorify You. Father, we pray that Your Spirit will speak and work in the hearts of those who are still outside Your kingdom, that they will not step into the new year without knowing You as their personal Lord and Savior. Help us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, hymn 220.